Are we ready to record, brother? All right. Title of my message today is Antibiotic Apocalypse. Antibiotic Apocalypse. My text is Luke 21, verse 11. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. Dear God, we do pray for the message today. We do pray, God, that You will not only give us good understanding, Father, but a will to obey the warnings, to be wise and prudent in all that we do, to be good stewards of our bodies, of the time, the opportunities that we have in this life to serve You with all our strength, God. May You be glorified. In Jesus' holy name, amen. I want you to notice, we looked at racial strife last week as a sign of the last days that will be increasing and like birth pangs. I want you to notice, great earthquakes shall be in divers places. They're having a whole series of them in Oklahoma, and we know all of this will really break out in the tribulation period. Famines are going to be in the world. And of course, if you have wars, oftentimes that leads, as well as these calamities, it leads to famine. And famine, of course, leads to pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. What I want you to realize, though, is that pestilences are going to increase. We need to be aware of that as a church. You need to be aware of that as a Christian. That diseases, bugs, are going to increase. Which means that we as Christians need to be wise in these last days. We need to discern the times. We need to hear from God what we need to do. The Lord said in Deuteronomy chapter 28, "The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until He hath consumed thee from off the land, whither thou goest to possess it." You might have pestilence. You might be exposed to pestilence. But what we see here is the pestilence is cleaving unto these people. "Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed. Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep His commandments and His statutes which He commanded thee." So by God's grace and mercy, He gives us light. He gives us the ability to see His will. And that's part of His blessing, part of His providence. And when He turns us over to a reprobate mind, it shows in Romans 1 that people do irresponsible, disgusting things and they destroy their own bodies. And while some never become a sodomite, there is nevertheless a destruction of our body that comes from ignorance, rebellion, and a lot of that is a curse upon our lives from God. So what we want from God is we want to hear His will, we want to be able to understand His will, and we want to have the health that we can have to whatever degree. When I became a Christian, I did all I knew how to do to take care of my body. I did not take care of my body before I was a Christian. But after I became a Christian, I had a desire, a burning desire, to cleanse myself, purge myself, take care of myself. I studied nutrition. I searched the Scriptures to see what God had to say about health. But it was not until 16 years ago that I made a further discovery that things such as antibiotics and hormones and pesticides were remaining in our food. I had before asked the doctor, if I get strep throat every year and I have to go to the doctor and get penicillin, why don't you just give me some penicillin that I can take home, and I'm going to take a little bit of this penicillin every day and I'll never get strep throat? Why do I have to wait till it comes upon me every year? And then when it comes upon me every year, I have to go get this prescription and get the penicillin or whatever antibiotic you're giving me. Just give me a little bit of this stuff every day. And his answer, of course, was, you'll destroy your health. It would obliterate your immune system. It'll destroy your health if you take a little bit of antibiotics every day. Well, I began to reason 16 years ago, wait a second. If antibiotics residues are in the food, as the FDA admits, they just say, well, there's not enough in there to hurt you. And I'm taking antibiotics every day in my food. What is that doing to my immune system? No wonder I'm getting sick. So I got a little book called Poisons in Your Food, written in the 70s. And he documented how boys in other countries, from hormone residues and antibiotics in food, no other source of contamination of his body, just from food, was growing female parts. At that point, I got down upon my knees and I said, Lord, forgive me for not understanding this before. By my strength, and mostly by your strength, and by your grace and providence, I will not, if I can help it, ever put this in my body again or my children. Of course, I only had one child that was just born. Immediately, I stopped getting sick. In fact, I was never sick enough to miss church. For over 20 years, I have never missed church due to sickness. My children didn't get sick. Not enough to miss church and things like that, to the degree that other people would get sick. I began to test it. I began to look. I began to examine. And I realized, praise God, this works. When you get off antibiotics, what an amazing immunity it gives you. So, 16 years ago, I stood behind the pulpit of Kingdom Baptist Church. Now Long Run Baptist Church. 16 years ago, I'll find the sermons for you. I said, superbugs are coming. Antibiotics are a curse. You need to quit eating food with antibiotics in them. Few really listened in 16 years. Few people. I began reading recently now with headlines on Drudge Report, headlines in World News, the end of the antibiotic era. Superbugs engulf the world. The rise of superbugs, the end of antibiotics. We can't use antibiotics anymore if we wanted to. And I said, why didn't anybody listen 16 years ago? But then world leaders began to come forth, the medical community. They said, nobody's listening to us now anyway. We're putting these headlines out. We're telling everybody, listen, we're not going to have the ability to treat your yeast infection. We are not going to have the ability to treat your diseases. There are diseases that are coming back and we cannot treat them. There is no medicine that we know of to treat them. Superbugs are upon us. And they're complaining now that only 30% of the people in America care. They said only 30% of America. They went and interviewed 30% of Americans. They said, are you concerned about antibiotics? They said, no. You're not concerned about superbugs? No. You're not concerned about going to the hospital and getting an incurable disease? No. Now, I believe that it takes a while for things to actually seep in to people's consciousness. So hopefully that's going to be changing with enough headlines. But let me tell you this, folks. The powerful big pharma, as well as the food agricultural lobby in America, is not going to give up their stronghold. They're going to keep putting antibiotics in your food. They might change the name of the antibiotic to escape so they can put antibiotic-free on chicken when really they're giving them other antimicrobials. They're giving them vaccines and all kinds of drugs like you would never imagine. So they might change the name, but they are not going to give up easy, especially in America. Other countries are banning them, but America. I must always ask, what could have been avoided 16 years ago? Go back. If you happen to have been in this church 16 years ago, or wherever you're at out there, if you're happening to listen, if you were listening 16 years ago to our sermons, where would you have been today, I want you to ask that, had you obeyed that sermon? Had you said, well, you know what? If there's residual antibiotics in our food and antibiotics are bad for you and it's hurting the immunity of my children, we're not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to do this. How many sicknesses could you have been saved from? See, Paul told some fellows, a bunch of Gentiles, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with much hurt and much damage, not only to the ship, but also to our lives. Once they wrecked everything, once they were on the boards and they're making their way to shore with a wrecked ship, Paul didn't immediately say, I told you so. He just sat there a while. And after a while, it says, after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. I believe that I can say to many out there today, 16 years later, if they happen to have heard, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. What kind of help could you have had at this point? Now, this is so significant. Sometimes people, right? And they say, what can I do? What would be one of the first things I can do to be healthy? What's one of the first? One of the first things you could do is stop ingesting antibiotics. You say, why do you think that's so important? Now, this is my opinion, but I study the Bible. I don't have a medical license. I read the Bible. So I'm telling you what I would do if I was you. Praise God, I have a good Bible. Amen. See, I believe in the great physician, but I'm not talking about all the time just praying and wanting to be healed or expecting to be healed. God can do that. He doesn't need any other means, but sometimes God uses means. Sometimes He uses a bunch of figs to cure a lump. Sometimes He uses wine like grape juice for your often infirmities, says Paul. So we can use the wisdom of the Bible to be healthy. Now, the reason antibiotics are so dangerous, I believe, is this. It has to do with messing up your belly. And God said a long time ago in Proverbs 3, be not wise in thy own eyes. Well, that's the big problem, isn't it? You wouldn't believe the people that have mocked me, that have said, oh, I got to go to Walmart and get me some diseases. I got to go touch everything. Now they got diabetes today. See? They got diabetes. They have to inject themselves. Mock on. Mock on. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel. Why does God say that first? Why does God say, if you obey me, you'll have good belly health? What in the world does that mean? The belly must be the center of more than you have ever imagined. And marrow to thy bones. We've already found your whole immunity. Your whole immunity, much of your immunity has to do with your bone and your bone marrow. Well, now we know that, whoa, these bugs control so much. And if you have an unhealthy gut, it leads to so many problems. If you have a healthy gut, it leads to health in many ways. That's why I say, run from antibiotics like the plague. And I mean literally. Because antibiotics are leading to the plague. They say that antibiotics, like penicillin, when they discovered them, they call them fungus. I don't know if they're a fungus. I don't know what they are. They say some are bacterial, some are fungus. The primary ones, especially at the beginning, were fungi. In the Bible, things like mushrooms that do not have green parts, God says, I've given you every green thing to eat. He never said, go eat a mushroom. It's not seed-bearing. It doesn't have a green part. So I believe we got a problem already if you're sticking fungi in your body. See? And what's happening today is people are taking vaccines and they're not asking, what in the world is this that you're sticking in my body? What's in that vaccine? Heavy metals? Things you cannot pronounce? Unclean things that you should never stick in your body? Why would I want to put a fungus in my body? I mean, maybe it's the same. Maybe they're all unclean. Or maybe they're like bacteria, where they're like fish or fowl. There's clean ones and there's bad ones. We know there's good bacteria and there's bad bacteria. I understand that sourdough, they say, is a mixture, mainly bacteria, mixed with some fungus, whatever you want to call it. Sourdough is good for you. Leaven means to rise. But even if it could be proven that the initial sourdough is unclean, or the leaven, honey comes from bees that are unclean. We eat honey that is clean, even though the bees make the honey and bees are unclean. The ultimate point is, are we practicing good health according to the Creator? I believe the Egyptians and many of the ancients did not have good wisdom when it came to health. They were known for bad health. God says, I will not put the diseases of the Egyptians upon you if you will diligently hearken unto me. Well, recently they've dug up some mummies and some other, using archaeology and their findings, and what they have found is that there were superbugs, they believe, and many of the ancients. They had bugs that were resistant. I believe that what we're finding now is that they were using molds and things like that that God never said. God never said that they should use to treat diseases. God tells us in the Bible they use cinnamon, they use garlic, they use some of the mints in the mint family. But God says use the leaves of the trees. The leaves of the trees shall be for your healing. And those were fruit trees, by the way. So, I mean, you take the apple tree, you take the pomegranate, you take the grape, you take the fig, you take the olive, you take all of these leaves. And God says that's the answer. That is how you kill your diseases. And of course, you live healthy and you pray and you ask for God's mercy upon it all. God never told you to take certain things that they're taking today and sticking them in their bodies. Now you say, haven't some people been healed? I mean, didn't penicillin save many in World War II? Millions of lives? Hey folks, what about World War I where garlic saved millions of lives? Why don't they tell anybody about that? Because they're trying to sell you something. You understand that? They're trying to sell you something. Well, what happened to garlic? Go back to World War I when garlic... Go back to some of the 19th century and earlier wars where they said olive leaf saved thousands and thousands of people. What happened to those stories? See, somebody's trying to make some money. In 1928, Alexander Fleming identified penicillin. It caused many experts to say the end of sickness is over. He took some fungus and put it among some bacteria, and it began to gobble it up, and they began to fight, and they began to have a war, and it began to eat up some of the bacteria. He said, wow, this is great. We can use this. Well, hey, other things eat up bacteria. What's so great about that? Olive leaf, garlic, all these other things. Well, it began to cause many experts to say the end of sickness has come. Here's my first link for you. Numerous verifiable sources confirm that the belief that infectious diseases had been successfully overcome was pervasive in biomedical circles, including a Nobel laureate, medical dean, and other thought leaders. From as early as 1948, extending all the way to the mid-80s, the medical community at large believed that infectious diseases had been conquered. They said, give me a high five. We got it beat. We are the doctors. We are the man. We have overcome disease. Look what we're doing. Guess what? A few years later, the plagues are back. Superbugs are here. What have we done? All we have done is created bigger diseases. Here's another one. Nobel Prize winner for medicine, 1960. One can think of the middle of the 20th century as the end of one of the most important social revolutions in history. The virtual elimination of the infectious diseases. You got one problem, buddy. Jesus said in the last days there'll be pestilences. You just mocked my Lord. You just basically contradicted my Lord. My Lord said you will have pestilences in the last days. He said, no, the end of disease has come. Really? I don't think so. Even the person who discovered penicillin, in 1945, they gave him a Nobel Prize, and he's sitting there, thank you. But he says, folks, hold on. Can everybody stop for a second? There might be a danger here in underdosage, exposing microbes to concentrations not sufficient to kill them, making them resistant. So what he gave was a warning in 1945 that nobody listened to. He says, if you take just a little bit of this stuff, it's going to cause the microbes to build up an immunity, and then it's not going to work anymore. You're going to create superbugs. Well, what did they begin to do? Well, here's what happened. They said, you know what? We want to put all these animals right next to one another. We don't want to give them any grass or any daylight. We want to squish them all together and see if we can get about 1 million of them in the same building. So now we don't got to keep them alive very long. Just long enough to fatten them up and kill them. If we give them these antibiotics, maybe they can stay away from disease long enough for them to get killed so we can feed everybody and look at the money we make. So they gave them some antibiotics. They said, yes, it temporarily seems to work. It seems to help some of our consequences of overcrowding. And then they began to say, but wait a second. Notice how fat they're getting. Whoa, antibiotics help you get fat. They began to say, why? Why is this working? Nobody knew. I checked journal after journal after journal after journal. Everybody said, I don't know. Even today they say, I don't know. I don't know why antibiotics make you gain weight. But given just a little bit of antibiotic in that animal's feed or water every day causes it to gain weight. Now, nobody knows what it does in the long run because they're not interested in the long run. They're interested in getting it fat enough to kill and put on your plate. Here's a recent headline. We may have reached the apocalyptic scenario with antibiotics. Center for Disease Control and Prevention Director Tom Frieden made headlines last year when he proclaimed that the United States would soon be a post-antibiotic era. Meaning we'd be plagued by everyday infections that our drugs could no longer handle. Well, you should have never messed with this stuff to begin with. It appears that age is already on our doorstep. Newborns in India are now dying at alarming rates from infections that were once curable. The same deadly superbugs are spreading and have already come to the United States, fueled in part by our country's overuse of antibiotics on farms and in hospitals. The problem isn't just the bacteria, it's the fact that the drugs we once relied on to kill them no longer work. Last year, nearly 250,000 Americans died from bacterial infections that didn't respond to antibiotics. I'm not against immigration. I'm against unchecked, unbridled, illegal immigration where you're letting people come over with already have diseases and you're bringing them into an America to infect everybody else, and that's a big problem. Certain strains of nightmare bacteria kill up to half of the patients they infect. And cases are becoming increasingly common across 42 states. Several diseases that the U.S. has kept in check with antibiotics have developed antibiotic-resistant strains, including gonorrhea, which infects more than 100 million people a year, and tuberculosis, a serious lung infection that's returned with a vengeance across several continents in recent years. It's not just the U.S. and India that are sounding the alarm bells on superbugs. Earlier this year, the UK's chief medical officer, Sally Davies, said an apocalyptic scenario would be upon this century unless we began taking extreme measures to stop it. Here's a headline from 2013. Pestilence, deadly superbug sweeping across America, resistant to antibiotic. They even take the word pestilence that our Lord gave us. Wow. Our Lord's always right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Here's a headline, Washington Post, just a few months ago. The superbug that doctors have been dreading just reached the U.S. The antibiotic-resistant strain was found last month in the urine of a 49-year-old Pennsylvania woman. It basically shows us that the end of the road isn't very far away for antibiotics. Here's L.A. Times. This month, a slow catastrophe unfolds as the golden age of antibiotics comes to an end. We're seeing more drug-resistant infections and people will die, said William P. Hannig, a Harvard University infectious disease epidemiologist. Common ailments are regaining the power to kill. Shame on us if we wait till bodies are in the street. But they will, they will, they will, because they want to make money. They're selling these drugs. They want to make money off the drugs. When is the last time you've seen a drug pusher care about the fact that people were in the streets dying? They want to make money off the drug. Here's a headline from this month. Acne might be getting resistant to antibiotics. See, what people are going to be left with, well, what do we do? What do we do? And you know what they're going to do? Immediately, they're going to be left in a world with disease everywhere, plagues everywhere. Nobody's going to know how to do anything except for people that for the past 20 years have been living like this already with pioneer medicine, with biblical medicine, see. I read about a recent country where a superbug was plaguing it, and the only people that were safe were the people that were using the herbs from the woods. They knew how to fight it. Nobody else did. So you might not care. You might have been annoyed by my antibiotic-free sermons and things telling you how to use pioneer medicine and the things that work. But I'm telling you, you're about to wake up in an America where nothing works but what God said. So you'd best get some skill in how to stay away from making yourself sick. There are some people that know how to use herbs, know how to use these things, but why don't you have a twofold approach? Why don't you quit making yourself sick and then try to use the herbs and that type of thing? Look at this. This month also, cases of drug-resistant gonorrhea skyrocket nationwide. That's a curse on fornication right there. Breitbart tells us three foreign-born cases of multi-drug-resistant TB in Nashville, Tennessee. Oh, I tell you what, it is all over America. And you know, even if you don't get a superbug, is it fun to wake up every couple of weeks and be sick and have diarrhea? Is it fun every time a bug blows through to get it? I mean, sometimes you would think, why don't we just stop? Why don't we build up our immune system? Why don't we quit putting antibiotics in our bodies and see what happens? Why don't you live that way 6 months and see what happens? I'll tell you what will happen. You'll stop getting sick. I'm 99% sure you will. Let's look at some bad effects of antibiotics. It not only lowers your immune system, and the more you take them, the more... And they even admit that. I mean, the doctors tell you that. The CDC says, well, yes, you'll probably get another infection. You can go take this antibiotic. Most of the things people take antibiotics for, it doesn't even kill. It doesn't even kill the viruses and things. But even when they take them, you can almost guarantee, and this is what happened to me. I was caught in a strep throat cycle before I was saved and even after I was saved. And I couldn't understand. I'm like, this comes every year and it's always going to come. One day, they were telling me about colloidal silver. And I said, I'll use herbs, but I draw the line when you start hooking batteries up to water and things start smoking. I mean, you're into Frankenstein stuff now. But I still believe you could use herbs. You don't need colloidal silver. But for what it's worth, I used colloidal silver one time, and I said, well, I tell you what, I got strep throat, and I already know nothing on this earth kills it but penicillin and other antibiotics. And if I get rid of my strep throat with colloidal silver, I took that colloidal silver the next day. All my swollenness went away. And I just said, we're being scammed. I tell you what, that was another revelation that we are being scammed by big drug pushers. And what I'm trying to get us to understand is, don't just depend upon herbs and colloidal silver and cinnamon and garlic and things like that. Let's build up our immune system to where we need those things less. And put the, it's food, so put it in your body every day anyway. Even if you're not sick, take some garlic, take some cinnamon, take some olive leaf, take some fig leaf. We go to trees and pull the mulberry leaves off and eat them. I mean, just go to the trees and make sure that it's edible, but you understand. Let's look now at some bad effects from antibiotics. Not only a lowered immune system, but here's from the Mail 2015, antibiotics more than double the risk of sudden heart deaths. Well, there you go. I never saw that olive leaf more than doubles the risk of certain heart deaths. I never seen any studies that say any of the things God said in the Bible double your risk of heart death. But antibiotics. So what happens, people, when you're taking a little bit of antibiotic every single day? So I'm not taking antibiotic every day. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. It's in your dairy. It's in your milk. It's in your cheese. It's in your butter. It's in your eggs. It's in your lettuce. It's in your white potatoes. It's in your beef. It's in your hot dogs. It's in your everything you stick in your mouth just about. You say, but it's just a little bit. Hey, folks, that's even worse. You might as well just take a whole bunch of antibiotic instead of just taking a little bit. It's the fact that you're just taking a little bit every day that's wrecking your immune system. Here's from Natural Health 365, antibiotics linked to heart attacks. Which is more shocking, the revelation that a popular class of antibiotics has been linked to life-threatening complications, or the fact that drug companies knew about these risks but covered them up? Antibiotics linked to stroke, heart attack, and permanent nerve damage. See, they don't keep the cow alive long enough to care about all of this. They want a quick fattening process, kill the cow, and put it on your plate so you can get stroke, heart attack, and permanent nerve damage. Here's from Hormones Matter. If you don't think stroke and heart attack and nerve damage is bad, well, what about this? Can antibiotics induce psychiatric reactions? In Stephen Fried's 1998 book, Bitter Pills, Inside the Hazardous World of Legal Drugs, he describes his wife Diane's severe adverse reaction to a certain antibiotic. Diane became bipolar after taking Floxacin to treat a urinary tract infection. She also suffered from delirium, visual distortions, insomnia, and other central nervous system and psychiatric issues after taking this antibiotic. These certain antibiotics can and do cause many central nervous system and psychiatric problems, including but not limited to seizures, dizziness, confusion, tremors, hallucinations, depression, psychosis, suicidal ideation or thoughts, insomnia, memory loss, loss of reading comprehension, inability to concentrate, bipolar disorder, extreme anxiety, and more. A couple of recent studies reveal how these antibiotics can lead to long-lasting psychiatric illnesses. Of course, not everyone who takes them ends up with a psychiatric illness, but many people do. And very few of them have any clue that their mental problems, including anxiety, depression, insomnia, as well as more severe illnesses, are connected with the prescription antibiotic that they took to treat a simple urinary tract or sinus infection. Well, let me pause here, hormonesmatter.com, and tell you that not only are they not connecting it to the antibiotic that their doctor gave them, they are not connecting it to the fact that they're eating antibiotics every single day, and then using soap with antibiotics, and then using sprays with antibiotics. They're inhaling it, they're putting it on their skin, they're ingesting antibiotics every single day. If you say, well, they're not falling down with seizures, or they're not falling down with any of these so-called crazy delusions and hallucinations, well, maybe they're having a mild degree of it. How do you know they're not having confusion? How do you know? What about this? Recent headline. common antibiotics may be linked to temporary mental confusion. Now I'm starting to understand some things. Now I'm starting to get it. Just like BPA lowers a man's drive to want to conquer anything or do anything, so the more a man is on plastic and BPA, the less he's going to care about being on BPA and plastic. The more a person is on antibiotics, the more confused they're going to be about, why should I get off of antibiotics? Antibiotics may be linked to a serious disruption in brain function called delirium and other brain problems more than previously thought. I'm not yelling at you today, folks. I'm trying to bless you. I sincerely, for 16 years, I've been trying to bless you. I want to bless you today. I've been a pastor for 20 years. I'm talking about just in this relation to antibiotics. More than previously thought. Oh, you mean you already knew about it before? According to the online issue of Neurology, a medical journal of the American Academy of Neurology, delirium causes mental confusion that may be accompanied by hallucinations and agitation. That's all you need is people agitated around you. And you certainly don't need them hallucinating. There's enough false accusation without a bunch of people getting their memory all messed up and hallucinating. About 47%, and normally it's the people that are in the fast food joints. You know what I mean? These are the people you got to watch out for. They're getting dangerous. About 47% had delusions or hallucinations, 14% had seizures, 15% had involuntary muscle twitching, 5% had loss of control of body movements. This is what these antibiotics do. Plus EEG, a test that detects electrical activity in the brain, was abnormal in 70% of the cases. Here's some antibiotic, 70% of the people, abnormal electrical movements in the brain. Here's another one from the Globe. Common antibiotics can cause confusion, seizures. Doctors rarely suspect antibiotics as a cause of neurological problems, but they should, according to a new study. God never told you to take the stuff to begin with. He told you leaves of the tree, and He didn't say go take something out of the leaf, process it, isolate it. He said just eat the leaf. Eat the leaf. He already had everything in the leaf that you need. You say, well, that doesn't work. Well, get on your face and pray. Get on your face and pray. And of course, we need good physicians to study those things and process by trial and error and research. But the Bible speaks of miserable physicians too. You understand that? There's good physicians. And then there's physicians that are actually drug pushers for drug companies. That's not a good physician. You say, well, they can save my life in an emergency. Well, they can kill you too. They can kill you. That you hate doctors. I don't hate doctors. I hate people without a backbone. I don't hate them, but I do have a problem with people that kill people for money. I talked to one doctor. I said, how can you live with yourself? I said, you call yourself a Christian, man. How can you do that every day giving those drugs to those people? You know what he said to me? He said, they would die if I didn't give them the drugs. I said, but you know as well as I do that there's things that they can do so they don't have to take the drugs with all those side effects. He goes, but they're not going to do it. They're lazy. And he called him another name. And he said, they're not going to do it. If I don't give them the drugs, they'll die. That's what they think of you. That's what a lot of them think of you. Neurotoxic effects associated with antibiotic use. While diarrhea is a commonly associated adverse effect of many antibiotics, people get diarrhea and they think, oh, I got another bug. No, you ate another chicken with antibiotics in it. And it just built up after a while. Maybe you did get a bug. But my point is this. If diarrhea is an association of antibiotics, then when you go eat food at fast food or wherever you're getting food full with antibiotics, no wonder you're getting diarrhea. Toxic effects on the central nervous system are perhaps much less recognized. So now you could add two that the doctors are now admitting. Yes, this will give you nerve damage and other nerve problems and diarrhea. What about all the other things you're not admitting yet? Warning, Common antibiotics cause seizures and brain dysfunction in 70% of patients. Not many doctors realize this, but antibiotics cause neurological problems very often. The first link between antibiotics and brain dysfunction was noticed in the 1940s. They knew it in 1940s when penicillin became popular. You mean you had found out in the 1940s that antibiotics cause brain problems, but you kept putting it in the feed of animals? You kept giving it to people all these years? They said, oh yeah, of course we did. Just like trans fat and Crisco and margarine and all that stuff, as well as cigarettes. The first link between antibiotics and brain dysfunction was noticed in the 1940s, but it was not fully studied until now. They didn't want to study it. A study from neurologist Shamik Bhattacharya at BWH and Harvard Medical School showed that antibiotics can cause delirium, an acutely disturbed state of mind associated with restlessness, illusions, and incoherence of thought and speech. Whoa. I know a lot of people that take antibiotics. If you are taking antibiotics and are confused, consider this as one of the causes. It may be more common than we think. All right. Becker's Hospital Review, common antibiotics linked to seizures, hallucination for infection patients. Confusion, delirium, hallucinations for some patients found the link between antibiotics and these symptoms to be much more than previously thought, as we've already read about. All right, what other problems? Let's see, heart disease, diarrhea, lowered immune system, brain confusion, delirium, hallucinations. Well, here's one. Hey, are y'all organic? Are you trying to stay away from antibiotics in your food? Oh, well, you know, we do our best, but you know. Hey, do you have anything for eczema? My child's got eczema. Yeah, quit eating antibiotics. In fact, whatever you tell me, that's going to be my first thing. Quit eating antibiotics. And I'm going to tell you this, and I mean it honestly. I would sit down, I mean this for truth. I would go in my yard and get leaves out of my yard and eat grass and leaves and black-eyed peas and whatever else I could find before I would stick antibiotics in my body. I've lived that way for 16 years, and that's what I fully believe. And God has fed me ever since, and I praise God for it, and I've eaten good for 16 years. But I can tell you the truth. I would feed myself with green peas, black-eyed peas that are organic, the best I could find, before I would stick that stuff in my body. Antibiotics linked to eczema in young children, UK study finds. Antibiotics linked to increased risk of developing diabetes. What does this stuff not do? Now I'm understanding what some of those Egyptians and ancient cultures were doing. They were plagued by disease, and they keep digging them up and saying, why, they have the same diseases that Americans have today. And they say, but Pastor Foss, I don't understand. They didn't have a lot of the chemicals, and they were plagued. Oh, but wait a second. They were still eating monkey brain, donkey dung, and every mold and fungus they could find. So in a way, they were eating what you're eating today. Things that God never told him to eat. And when he set his people apart, he said, I want you to quit acting like these people. I want you to quit living like these people. And we're going to have a total different system of medicine than these people. Antibiotics linked to increased risk of developing diabetes. The drugs could wreak collateral damage on friendly gut bacteria that play an important role in regulating the body's energy consumption and immune system, scientists suggested. And here's from China News. Let's see what they're finding out over in China. Here it is, 2016. Childhood obesity linked to eating antibiotics from your doctor. Nope. Scratch, 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 scratch. Childhood obesity linked to eating food from animals treated with antibiotics. There we go. 16 years ago. And I'm not trying to glory. I'm trying to say, people, please, listen. I'm not infallible. If you can find me wrong, find me wrong. Search the scriptures. Search the research. But let's try to not just be stubborn and lazy. Childhood obesity linked to eating food from animals treated with antibiotics. Chinese researchers. Children with high traces of antibiotics in their systems are 2 to 3 times more likely to be obese. Children who eat food over a long period produced from animals treated with antibiotics may be more likely to be obese, according to research carried out in China. The risk is also linked to drinking water containing traces of the veterinary form of the drugs, the study said. That is, the stuff they're giving animals. Traces of up to 21 antibiotics were found in 80% of the children's urine samples. The researchers said there was a significant association between veterinary antibiotics and obesity among the young. The study was published in the scientific journal Environmental International. Well, there you go. If that's not enough, antibiotics linked a huge rise in allergies. By upsetting the body's normal balance of gut microbes, antibiotics may prevent our immune system from distinguishing between harmless chemicals and real attacks, New Scientist says. Fluoroquinolone, don't know how to pronounce that, I didn't look it up, antibiotics linked to serious nerve damage. We already found that out. Antibiotics that kill gut bacteria also stop growth of new brain cells. Whoa, now we're kind of understanding why they want Americans to be full of antibiotics. Or at least why the devil wants it. Not only does it bring confusion and delirium, but it keeps your brain cells from growing. If they kill the gut bacteria, they're killing your brain cells, they said, or at least these certain bacteria. Antibiotics strong enough to kill off gut bacteria can also stop the growth of new brain cells, a section of the brain associated with memory, reports a new study in mice. How much you want to bet garlic and olive leaf won't do that, even though they can kill microbes? Mother Jones magazine says factory animals are pumped full of antibiotics to make them gain weight. What does that mean for our waistlines? Back in the 1940s, scientists discovered that regular low doses of antibiotics caused animals to put on more weight. No one understood why. Are we being exposed to tiny levels of antibiotics through the residues in the meat we eat? Of course you are. And are they altering our gut flora? Of course it is. It turns out that the Food and Drug Administration maintains tolerance limits for antibiotic residue levels. There it is. Of course they know there's levels. Of course they know you're still eating antibiotics. They just say we have a tolerance level above which meat isn't supposed to be released to the public. It's not supposed to be. Really? How many times do you check? But Keith Nachman, who researches antibiotic use in the meat industry for the Johns Hopkins Center for Livable Future, told me that the FDA sets these limits based solely on the research financed and conducted by the industry. And it refuses to release the complete data to the public or consider independent research. Aha! So don't you believe for a second. None of it's left inside the food. A recent European study showed that tiny levels of antibiotics could have an effect on microorganisms. All you need is a little bit. The researchers took some meat, subjected it to antibiotic residues near the U.S. limit, and used a traditional technique to turn it into sausage, inoculating it with lactic acid-producing bacteria. In normal sausage making, the lactic acid from the starter bacteria spreads through the meat and kills pathogens like E. coli. The researchers found, though, that the antibiotic traces were strong enough, that's the FDA limit, were strong enough to impede the starter bacteria, the good bacteria that you need, while still letting the E. coli flourish. In other words, even at very low levels, antibiotics blast the good bacteria and promote deadly germs. There, they did the study for you, folks. The antibiotic residues in your food kill the good bacteria, letting the bad multiply. TheAtlantic.com, are antibiotics making people larger? We've known that taking an antibiotic can inadvertently lead to another infection. You've known that? A lot of people don't know that. In a last-ditch attempt to restore balance to her intestinal flora, doctors recommended to this one woman, they kept giving her antibiotics. And she kept getting sick. So they finally said, we don't have any choice. We're going to have to take somebody's bile. We're going to have to take somebody's waste. And we have to stick that inside your body. So she says, no, you're not. Then use my daughter's. If you're going to use anybody's waste, use my daughter's. So her daughter was overweight. So they took her. What's an acceptable word to use in church? Doo-doo? I mean, what's an acceptable word? Bile, waste, whatever. They used her waste, stuck it in the woman, and all of a sudden she got obese. She's never been obese in her life. Doctors sat back and they said, whoa, wait a second. What is it? Flora. What type of bugs you have determines so much about a person, about their health. So they did it in rats. They take skinny rats, take the flora from obese rats, and make the skinny rat fat, and vice versa. Bugs. God says your health is in your belly, people. Some antibiotics remain active for months after passing through the animal and are detectable in rivers miles from their use. So they give it to an animal, it uses the bathroom, it gets in the river, miles away, it's still active. A study of a river in Colorado found several antibiotics everywhere except for a pristine site in the mountains. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Better head to the hills. Antibiotic overuse turned the Hudson River into a breeding ground for drug-resistant bacteria. Even less medically warranted, actual contrary to the interest of the animal, antibiotics are given as appetite and growth stimulants. In 2014, Martin Blaser and colleagues at New York University found that steady exposure of mice to penicillin early in life predisposed them to become obese. We give them antibiotics so they get fat. We are exposed to those antibiotics. It seems like a very common sense idea. As those antibiotics get into the animals and we consume them, either we may be ingesting that antibiotic or at least it changed the biosis of the animal. If people really recognize that the obesity epidemic is associated with exposure to antibiotics, I think demand for antibiotic-free food will become even greater. Johns Hopkins University, childhood antibiotics and weight gain. New study finds lasting link. Now, as I study, nobody knows why. Nobody knows why. Give a little bit of antibiotics, an animal gets fat. Nobody knows why, or it gains weight. I have two theories. You gave all the animals diabetes. Theory number two, you feminized the animals. So all the male animals, see, they know BPA is linked to weight gain. They know anything that feminizes a male is linked to weight gain. It makes a man round and pregnant looking. You say, what does it do to the women? Well, remember, it's usually a reverse for the woman. It raises her testosterone. You say, well, why does it make her gain weight? Well, just type in testosterone, high testosterone in women, weight gain. So she grows hair, she gets weight gain in places that she doesn't want hair. So she gets masculine, a deeper voice. She loses her flowing hair, things like that, and she begins to gain weight. That's from antibiotics also, I believe. So I believe what you're doing to the animals is just simply feminizing. And when you use those feminizing drugs, it's going to work whether it's male or female. They're going to gain weight, or at least some weight. That's my theory. That's my theory. Drugs that can cause gynecomastia. A number of antibiotics, such as ketoconazole. They even give it the name con. And all these other. How do they work? They work to inhibit the production of testosterone. Wow, folks. What chance does a man have in this world today? I mean, if they don't get you with the hormones, they don't get you with the plastic, if they don't get you with the propaganda, if they don't get you with mosquito spray, dropping it on your head, if they don't get it in your drinking water, they're going to get it with the antibiotics. Are you sick? Oh, come on to the doctor here. Let me give you some antibiotics. Now, go eat your meat. Go drink your dairy. Make sure you get plenty of these. Testosterone-inhibiting antibiotics. So you do a little test. Let me see here. You give antibiotics to the animals, they get fat. There's antibiotic soaps. I bet you that that's also linked to gynecomastia. Men growing women breasts. And sure enough, you type in the soaps and sprays, they're linked not only to superbugs, but to feminizing males. Let me say a few words here. Antibiotic means the same as antibacterial. But God's idea of an antibacterial is not the same as man's idea. See, God has some limits, some things. He would say, don't use that for antibacterial. Use this. Eat this. Don't eat that. See, the Creator told us that you might be healthy. But man doesn't believe in the Bible, so he gets cursed. And even God's people sometimes think the Bible, God's law is strange, so they get cursed. Remember, God put that word diligently. If you will diligently hearken unto me, I will not put the diseases of the Egyptians upon you. Diligently. What does God mean by diligent? Well, I follow the law of meat, but I'm not going to follow the law of vegetables. Or, you know, everybody's got a limit to how far they're going to follow the Bible. Or what we think is the Bible. One whistleblower working in these factories said, so-called commercial no antibiotic ever birds are still getting antimicrobials. They just call it something else. So by all means, if you could find something that says antibiotic free, get that before you do something that is not antibiotic free. But I'm just saying, we've got to start preparing for more drastic measures. Raising your own chickens, as we're doing and others are trying to do. In the Bible, God mentions your belly, and then mentions the belly being surrounded by lilies. Garlic and onions are in the lily family. There's a big debate. Well, doesn't garlic destroy some of the bacteria that's good in your body? And there's a big debate about it all. Well, what they don't realize is garlic is a prebiotic. It feeds the good bacteria. So understand that there is an association by Solomon with the lily family in your belly. So I tell you what, antibiotics are not good for your belly. But when it says those Israelites ate garlic and onions and melons and fish, and they begin to thrive and be strong, I'll trust God. I'll trust the Bible. I'm not sure what they have planned, people. But when they get to the end of something and they can no longer hide the evidence, remember you go back to the 1960s and it says, expert doctors recommend Camel cigarettes as being good for you. Now you look back at those ads right now and you think, how could people have been so stupid? Well, after a while, it's like, well, everybody knows it's bad for you. And you go a few decades to where now, finally, it's like if you smoke in this day and age, it's like you're way behind the times as far as the information. Now, with the trans fat, Crisco, margarine, they held on to that as long as they could. For about 40 years, the information was out there. They couldn't suppress it anymore, and it was just like a snowball, and they moved out of the way and said, yeah, we've always, you know, stay away from trans fats. And as if they always believed that after killing people. Here's what I think they're going to do. They're going to hold on to these antibiotics as long as they possibly can. They're going to change names and things like that. They're going to hold on to them as long as they possibly can. But they're already preparing to switch to vaccines. You know, they're already pushing vaccines like crazy on the animals. And so you're still not helping anything, see. Then we've got other problems. These animals do go to the bathroom, you know. And when you give them antibiotics and they go to the bathroom, what do you do with that manure? It ends up in your creeks and your streams. Oh, but there's a lot of people that take that manure. Liquid hog manure. And they take that liquid hog manure filled with antibiotics and they stick it all over plants. And then you go to the store and you buy the plant and you eat it. And you say, that's gross. Liquid hog manure? Hey, the FDA for non-organic food legalizes human manure. So if you're eating something that's not organic, you have no way of knowing that that has not had human manure on the food. But this is a problem somewhat for those that try to eat organic or use the organic label. Of course, we want to go beyond organic. But the problem is this. You got a farm down the road, they're trying to stay away from pesticides. So they're using manure that antibiotics have been fed to cows, and then the manure comes out and they put it on their vegetables, and now you're getting vegetables with manure. There's one thing that saves the day somewhat, and that is there's a law that says organic farms have to compost the manure, which destroys about 99% of the antibiotics, but it can still be a danger. And what about for people that don't compost the manure? See. Scientific American, we're about to close, says people have long been exposed to antibiotics in meat and milk. Now the new research shows that they may also be ingesting them from vegetables. Factory farm antibiotics making children allergic to fruits and vegetables. A 10-year-old girl who ate a blueberry pie had a near-fatal allergic reaction. It turns out the problem wasn't the blueberries, but the antibiotic streptomycin. The blueberries have been treated with the antibiotic to keep bacteria, fungi, and algae from growing on the fruit. Children are popping up with allergies to fruits and vegetables all the time, but what they're really allergic to is what is sprayed on the plants. Doctors believe traces of streptomycin and other antibiotics on produce, meat, and in the water supply can add to the rising incidence of fruit and vegetable allergies. Mother Jones says, we feed cows chicken poop. The practice isn't just gross, it could spread mad cow disease. Yet the FDA has done nothing to stop it. It's mainly a combination of feces, feathers, and uneaten chicken feed, but in addition, a typical sample of poultry litter might also contain antibiotics, heavy metals, disease-causing bacteria, even bits of dead rodents, according to Consumers Union. Well, here's the deal. They're feeding cows chicken dung, chicken manure, and they're feeding chickens cow manure. In both cases, you're getting extra antibiotics. And even if the factory farm, because of the outcry of